Before we pray, I would like to read a few words from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 4, from verse 32, some verses, and then perhaps from Ephesians. Here it says, "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from one side of heaven unto the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard, and live?" Moses, this man of God, spoke these words and showed the people of God in what a marvelous way God had spoken to them and said to them, "Find out at what time God spoke in such a way." Just as in our day, that's how he could say it. And not only he spoke to them, but made himself known to them in a marvelous way, and walked with them, and they were allowed to hear the voice of God, and they were allowed to see the fire and all that, how he made himself known to them and yet remained alive. When I read these verses, I thought back to our days, and we too have a great privilege and could exclaim the same words and ask, in what days has God spoken like this and revealed himself so mightily and revealed his mysteries like this and allowed so many healings and miracles to take place as in our days, in the days in which we live? And yet we have to realize that there is so much unbelief. And we see that it has probably been like this at all times. Then perhaps verse 36, "Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day." Yes, God has done all these marvelous deeds and all these wonderful things for his people. And I believe we could turn to one scripture after another, and all we could do is marvel and marvel at the great deeds God has done for his people. For we see that he has not changed yet. He has remained faithful to the end and to this day. Perhaps I would just like to read briefly from Ephesians, here from chapter 4, It says here, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he laid captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that has descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. Now we have heard the exhortations of the Lord, or the exhortations of the Apostle Paul, which he called out to his people. And I think that after all that God has done, we cannot help but take these admonitions to heart and heed them and walk as God has told us in his word. May he also bless us tonight. May he be with us and give us what we need. We also have some prayer requests here today. We want to lay everything before the Lord and ask him to help us. He is able to do everything, even if everything is far away. But with God there is no distance. He can work here and there. He fills the whole world, and he is everywhere, and especially where his people gather, in his wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Let us rise up to pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you with all our hearts, also for this evening hour. We thank you, O Lord, that we may turn our eyes to you again this evening. And Lord, we were allowed to read how you made yourself known to your people in the Old Covenant, how you made yourself known in the New Covenant, how you spoke through an Apostle Paul, and how you chose messengers for yourself, Lord, as we have read, apostles, prophets, teachers, and evangelists. You are still at work. We believe you with all our hearts that you will also fulfill your purpose tonight, Lord. Lord, we look up to you. For if we look to ourselves, Lord, what are we? But Lord, we look up to you and we know that you are able to give us what we need. We need you more and more in this time, in these hours, O Lord. We also bring you all those who have recommended themselves to be prayed for, and we ask you from the depths of our hearts, Lord, may you touch them, may you intervene, may you help. We cannot help. We are only human, but we have read in your word. You have always helped your people, Lord, and you were always with those, Lord, who trusted in you. And so we trust in you tonight and know that you will bless us and all your people with us in all places, wherever they may be scattered, O Lord. Lord, may you comfort them from the riches of your grace. You will comfort us too, Lord, and give us what we need. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise be to the Lord for the privilege of being here again to worship, to give glory to God. We have sung of faith, and faith is the victory that has overcome the world. In the midst of all seeming defeat, we are convinced in our hearts that God has won and that the victory belongs to His people. God will do everything else as it is right. I have greetings to pass on from Zurich and from some who are especially connected with us, who pray daily for the cause of God. That also exists, and we are grateful for that. We know that those who pray have the work of God on their hearts. I didn't feel well on Sunday. I almost had to stop preaching. My heart failed, and I felt very sick, so that I could only speak without preaching. It seems to be getting to the point where everything is reaching and assuming a level that is no longer bearable in earthly, human terms. But we do as Abraham did, that we trust God even where we see nothing, and yet it goes to our hearts. No one who loves God can be indifferent to what is going on. No one can be indifferent when dear brothers and sisters, whom we love and cherish, go ways or do things that cause pain, no matter who it is. He who loves God loves all who are born of God. This is God's word. And whoever does not want to be measured by the word of God has not yet submitted to the hand of God. There are certain passages in the Holy Scriptures that are a good standard, that cannot be bent, that is inflexible and yet very clearly legible, so that we can recognize in ourselves and also in others what could be done better and more correctly. You all know that in the Old Testament, when people did something that was not right before God, they were stoned to death, or judgment came upon them, because grace had not yet arrived. The Holy Scripture says, the law came through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. And so we distinguish between the Old and New Testament in that there is grace for all while the time of grace lasts. And I came to a conclusion on Sunday that might hit the mark. I thought to myself that everything we do to someone else could backfire on us. It could happen to us. And that's why we should be very careful with what we say, especially with the judgments we make. Of course, it hurts me more than anyone else in every respect. I only have to open my eyes, whether it's morning, noon or night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday or Saturday or Sunday, whenever it may be. I only have to open my eyes and I feel deep sorrow and great pain in my heart. I don't hide the fact that I won't be able to endure this state for much longer. I am not saying this to make anyone feel sorry for me now. I don't need pity from anyone. What I want to achieve is that we bring the cause of God together before the throne of grace, but bring it from the heart in such a way that He can hear us. I spoke on Sunday about a word from Luke 1 in Zurich, and it seems to me to be a word that could also apply at the end of the time of grace, as it did at the beginning. We have already heard two wonderful passages in the opening word, one from Deuteronomy 4, that God revealed Himself to His people. He spoke, He worked, He led them out, blessed them, provided them with food and drink, like no people on earth. There was only one people of God, and God gave up other peoples to bless, preserve, lead and guide this one people. And He says here, and because He loved thy fathers, therefore He chose their seed after them and brought thee out in His sight with His mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art. to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God had a plan of salvation with his people out of grace, out of election, and brought it to fulfillment. The word chosen is used here, and God has gone along in his own person. In Ephesians, we heard the word exhortation. Paul was a prisoner of the Lord, and it was important to him to present the church to Christ as a chaste virgin, without spot or wrinkle. And that is why he wrote the admonishing letters. He had a fatherly heart, a shepherd's heart. He was concerned about the flock of God, over which the Holy Spirit had placed him as overseer. We ought even with humility, it says here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. If we are to bear with one another in love, then it must be a bit difficult. Otherwise, the exhortation would not be written at all. Anyone can tell someone what to think. Anyone can also know better. But not everyone can take everyone as they are. Everyone wants to change and reshape everyone. And then, what have you made of me, if you want me to be the way you want me to be? That doesn't apply at all before God. God wants to mold everyone the way he wants them to be. It would be sad if one person were to become like the other. What would that be? Then no one would present themselves as they are. Then everything would be unnatural. Everything would be a masquerade, a spectacle in the midst of the house of God. And God forbid and prevent that. No, everyone should be what God has made them to be. And even the earthly abilities or talents or whatever a person is, let us accept one another as God has accepted us in Christ. And let us bear with one another in love and not say a word about the fact that one person is like this and the other like that. Let us be glad that this is the case. How monotonous it would be on earth if all the flowers were the same color and all the mountains looked exactly like each other and every face was as monotonous as all the chairs on which some people are sitting. What would it be like if we were all so monotonous? What would that be? A very bad thing. No, our God is such an all-knowing and faithful God who has considered everything for the whole human realm and of course also for the kingdom of God. Here we are emphatically told to bear with one another with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. All these things belong together. If I don't like someone, I make a remark. The remark leads to a quarrel, to a dispute, and then come discords, and then all sorts of things, except love and peace. And it is precisely these two things that should be revealed, and in them we should endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. Beloved, even the apostles were different from one another, but they were all men of God. No one wanted to change the other. Everyone accepted and respected each other as they were. We have to realize that we leave everyone to God in their decisions, in their plans, with everything as He is, and then everything is fine. Ultimately, everyone is responsible before God, and everyone does what they think is right before the Lord. Here, in Luke chapter 1, that is actually a very marvelous word. You all know, the four evangelists were all different from one another. And if you take it from me tonight, they all wrote differently. And yet, they all shed light on one and the same thing and put it in the center. What did Matthew do? He begins with a long genealogy and goes on to prove the earthly family tree, the genealogy. And then he comes up with 14 generations, and another 14 generations, and another 14. And then he has listed them all, right? And in Mark, he says here, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, and also in the prophet Malachi. That's how he started. Luke does it quite differently. And I'm glad that God guided these men in this way. Just imagine if we were to read the same sentence in every gospel, read the same story, find the same description, then one gospel would have been enough. Then we wouldn't have needed four. No, God in His wisdom has done everything marvelously. But notice how human it sounds with what is started here. I read, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Yes, one would almost say this is a reporter speaking. Is it true? If you think in earthly terms, as you know, many have undertaken to write about everything that has happened, but now I have also decided, dear Theophilus, to write to you too. But now we come to the question, who put this decision into his heart. Many have written, but this was a divine decision, a divine resolution. Otherwise, we would not have it in this Bible. We believe that God watches over his word. God had his plan with all these men, but the beauty of them is that they remained human beings with both feet on this earth. They were not fantasists or crackpots, but wrote it as truthfully as it was. And he goes on to say, I will record it in proper order, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Now we come to the actual text. No one of them, neither Matthew, nor Mark, nor John, described the event we are about to read. None of them emphasized this passage with the prophet Elijah here in chapter 1 in verse 17 as Luke did. No one has told us like Luke. Let me read it. We'll skip the verses after that and start with verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. If we just stop here for a moment, at first it all looks as if this is a tradition. The lot is cast as to which priest will now be the one to offer the incense offering. It looks a bit human, but didn't God make sure that the lot was cast for the right person? Didn't David already say, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage? Earthly? Oh my goodness, we would say, well, what will become of it? Don't worry about it. God is above everything we do earthly and will still fulfill his counsel and bring about his will. It says, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. The beauty of it is that this was the only sacrifice that the congregation of Israel during the time that this man went into the presence of God were kneeling down and praying. And while this man offered the sacrifice and the smoke symbolically went up, the prayers of the saints went up to God and to his throne. And we can still read in the book of Revelation in chapter 8, after the opening of the seventh seal, that the incense of the saints, namely the prayers of the saints, ascended to the throne of God. At that hour, when this man, struck by the lot, went into the temple of God, it happened that while the incense was being offered, the hour of prayer took place. And as the smoke went up, so did the prayers of the saints. Who then is surprised that God answered? Verse 11 says, And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. This Zacharias knew exactly where he was standing. He knew exactly what he had said. He could repeat it later. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. Now listen, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Isn't that marvelous? How grateful we can be that this Luke suddenly had the heart to write. So many had already written so much. Suddenly he had to write. And I say again, read Matthew, read Mark, read John. This story is not recorded anywhere but here. It even tells us that the first part of the prophet Malachi is mentioned here, namely, that he will turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And there it stops. And the hearts of the children to the fathers, that is left out because it did not refer to that time. Beloved, no one can tell me anything other than what we already believe, that God inspired the holy men, and they did not pretend to be gods, although they were gods. As the scriptures say, they were gods and sons of the Most High, all of them, referring to the prophets. Now, hear the apostles, or disciples of the Lord, perhaps not even an extraordinary calling, and yet they were given a place in the kingdom of God to write down what actually happened back then. I'm grateful to God for that. We have diversity in all these Gospels. And if we harmonize and put everything together, then we have an overall view. What is very important here is that at the first coming of the Lord, the angel came to Mary. He came to Gabriel. Supernatural things happened on earth. And about the same time as the coming of the Lord, John also appeared. And you all know, Zacharias could not well believe that the promise would be fulfilled. Even though he was there and could say, the angel stood to the right of the altar and said this and that, and yet he had trouble believing. It says here, and Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, and not able to speak, until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That's it. The Lord had the angel Gabriel deliver the message, but the man of God could not grasp everything at that moment and only said, how can this be possible? We think of Abraham, an old man, very old, and the Lord gave him the promise. God always does things in such a way that his name is glorified. Abraham could have had a son when he was young. Where would the miracle have been then? Where would have been the promise? Where would have been the glorification of God? It was the same here with Zacharias. Could God not have ensured that one of all the children would be born there too? God knows exactly what he has to do, in what hour, in what way, through whom. He has already planned everything. No one can come to him and say, Lord, do this now or do that. No, we all become a part of the great plan of God in this time, like those men. Do you think a Luke in his day was aware of what he was doing? He writes, Dear Theophilus, I will tell you everything here, so that you may know exactly the order in which everything happened. Theophilus has not been around for a long time, but since then, thousands, hundreds of thousands and millions have read and rejoiced that God had men who wrote, who spoke, who were eyewitnesses and reported what God had done. And we can still read it to this day. In closing, I'm coming back to the beginning. He says it humanly, because as we know, many have already undertaken to write an account of the events that have been fulfilled among us. He could have said, if you want to inform yourself in any way, there's already so much here. You can read it somewhere. The Spirit of God in him led him to write, to expound, addressed to a single man, and since then to the Church of the Living God, in all ages, to all peoples, tongues, and nations. It says here, it seemed good to me also. That's really, I emphasize once again, how we would say it as human beings. We would say, I have decided to write a circular letter. I have decided to do this or that. That's one thing. But God was in that decision. God put this decision in his heart. And that is what is important. And then, from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. I would like to say today that the most excellent people on earth are the people of God. We have been given a royal status. He has purchased us with His precious and holy blood. And so it says in the opening word in the book of Revelation that He has purchased us to God and made us kings and priests. And here this man is addressed as most excellent. Today it is all those who take the word of God to heart, who can believe and really regard every word of God as true, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. We are grateful to the Lord God who has taken care of that we have His precious and holy word. Witnesses of God in the Old and New Testament have spoken and written, inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit. And all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for admonition, and for edification in Christ Jesus our Lord. At that time, Zacharias sacrificed, and the church was in prayer, and God answered. Beloved, this became very great to me. This is the beginning of the new covenant, the transition to the new covenant. The first is still the old covenant, when it says, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, that was still Old Testament, Old Testament, the service in the temple, God and so on. But then, even custom, it says here, according to the custom of the priest's office, according to the custom. You see, that God in everything, according to the custom, according to tradition, God has carried out His plan in the midst of everything. How great is our God! And did not our Lord rebuke all the scribes and Pharisees? Did He not tell them who they were? And yet, in the midst of everything human, He did what is divine, and thereby brought honor to His name, and fulfilled the word of His promise, and made it come true. God acted in the midst of everything and made history in the plan of salvation. A sacrifice is offered according to the Old Testament. Smoke rises. People pray. But God answers. God makes a new beginning where people are gathered in His name and do what they still know before the face of God, and they leave the rest to Him, and He will do it. It is the same in our day. Of course, when I read that the angel here said he was in the presence of God, or coming or standing before the face of God, you can't miss and you can't pass over the fact that the angel that actually came to Brother Branham says about the same words, I come from the presence of God to give you the message. We could take parallels here, but may God transfigure the rest and make us thankful. It is just on my heart that we lay the cause of God before the Lord, really lay down completely and say, "My God, have your way and do as you please." We may, as is almost custom, come together here. But I tell you, we don't come together out of habit. We come here to meet God. And one day, the time will come, and God will answer, as he answered then. And perhaps we may sit here and think to ourselves, well, our brothers are still human too. And that is 100% true. Luke had that, and Zacharias had that. But then the divine came into the midst of the human, and God was honored and glorified as a result. That is how it may look now, and perhaps also be and become. In any case, we trust the Lord completely and know that he will bring it to pass. Blessed be his name. Amen. We thank you together for your precious and holy word, which is the lamp unto our feet. Lord, we thank you that we may still come together, and that you still speak to us, Lord, that your word still comes to us, and that we can be aligned according to thy word, Lord. We worship you, Lord, in our midst, Lord. We praise your glorious name and give you alone the honor, Lord, and the praise and the thanks. You will come to your right with your people, as you have always done, as you have always come to your right. So you will also come to your right in our day. Lord, your people did not cease to praise your name while the priest went in. And then you appeared, Lord. Who among them had considered, Lord, that you would send your holy angel, Lord, and you sent him, hallelujah. O Lord, praise be to your name. Lord, you have spoken again tonight in a mighty way through your precious and holy word, Lord. It becomes ever greater and ever more glorious to us, Lord. Praise be to your wonderful name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.